Welcome to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset with me, Johnny Pardo. Welcome back to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset podcast and YouTube video with me, Johnny Pardo. So today I have got Rachel Francis on with me. Rachel is a life coach helping you and helping people identify the vision people want, but also identifying the identity people need to achieve that. She particularly focuses on helping people overcome such limitations they may face. And she likes working in a one-to-one environment using her holistic approach to coaching. So welcome, Rachel.
Thank you so much, Janiga. Thanks so much for having me on.
It's brilliant to have you on here. And we were just speaking about a minute ago and how much I kind of admire the way you describe things on social media and you share information, just something I really, really resonated with. So I felt like you'd be a really, really valuable person to talk to some of my listeners, and I'm sure they're going to get such value today. So thanks once again for coming on.
Thanks so much. Appreciate that.
So Rachel, rather than me going on too much about you, obviously I've done a little bit of an introduction, but would you like to just say a little bit about you and introduce what you do and your style of coaching?
Well, I mean, you kind of have summed me up pretty well already, but so my name is Rachel. I'm a life coach based in the south of Ireland, but that's kind of irrelevant these days because of Zoom. So I work internationally. Mostly work with people in their 20s and 30s to establish for themselves an identity that supports a life they're trying to create. So I think this is actually a niche for me that kind of evolved over time. It wasn't something I just kind of day one decided, okay, I'm going to be this type of a coach. I saw what was happening was that the type of issue that clients were telling me about, what they were facing, the root issue in those issues was actually the root cause of everything that they were kind of experiencing in their life was actually how they viewed themselves in their life experience. So what often happens is a client might say to me, you know, I'm really struggling with this relationship, or I'm really struggling with this job I have at the moment. It's making me feel these negative emotions. But actually what really is happening there is, what story are they telling themselves about the person they are at this stage in their life? So that's kind of what it naturally evolved into. And to be honest with you, I'm really happy to be doing this work, because I feel like the story you tell yourself about who you are dictates everything else. You know, it controls, you know, the way you move in the world and how you interact with people and how you show up for yourself.
Love it. Love what you said about the story as well, because I'm you probably know I'm a massive Tony Robbins fan and go to quite a lot of the events, but certainly some of the stuff he talks about and some of the stuff I always obviously you don't just know the knowledge, you have to use it for yourself. But so he talks about the three S's, and a lot of people go with, so the three S's for anyone who's kind of like new to this is state, story and strategy. And what you said about story was really, really good. And often people will try and use a new strategy, like they're coming up with this danger or this limitation. Don't know why I use the word danger, but a limitation or barrier in front of them. It could be a danger. But then they think, right, I've got to change my strategy or approach, or maybe they're a bit stuck. But actually, if they've got an old story that they're playing over and over again, they're always going to pull themselves back. So is that something you tend to recognize with clients when they're trying to try many things, but they still got the same story going on?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's actually funny that you bring up Tony Robbins, because it was from a video, I think, that I saw of his ages ago, that I actually picked up on that idea that, you know, you could have all the action going for you. You could do all the right steps. You could complete your to-do list every single day. But if you don't believe that you're the person who is worthy of getting what you want, or if you don't align yourself with the energy, even if we're speaking in terms of energy, the energy behind those action steps, even if you do make progress, you're not going to feel it. It's not going to resonate with you because it's not actually who you identify yourself as being, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, yes. And another quote came to mind, yeah, when you mentioned that, and it's human beings have a need to be consistent with their identity. So
yeah,
I love what you're saying. So if subconsciously, and when I say subconsciously, these are things we we're not always consciously aware of. So that's why people like you are so valuable for coaches, or I myself a coach, obviously know this stuff. This is why coaches can be really useful, because people aren't aware of some of these subconscious identities and how they're seeing themselves. So if you're constantly doing these actions and that you think, oh, it's self-sabotaging, this isn't what I want, it's because I feel like we have these identities. And for me, myself, I used to have a lot of bad identities, bad behavior sometimes, like I'd go out on nights out and drink too much when I'd be doing really, really well at work. And I'd go out and do a load of stupid things. My social life was, you know, quite good, but bad in a way that I was kind of encouraged too much. And then I'd like feel rubbish. My health wouldn't feel so good. I wouldn't be so good at work. So I'd be sabotaging because I felt I am not enough inside. And that was my story I was telling myself, until I consciously realized this for a lot of personal development work. So yeah, totally resonate with what you're saying there in terms of the identity.
Yeah, and it's so interesting to hear you say that as well, because I think that might be where a lot of imposter syndrome might pop up in your life as well, because all of a sudden you're creating this separation between how you feel, so like the person you feel like on the inside, and then this identity that you feel like is some version of you out there. So it's, you know, when we talk about imposter syndrome, it's a sad thing, really, because, you know, when you feel kind of that disharmony, that separation within you, it's so hard then to find, okay, but which of these two is the real me, which is the one that, you know, will allow me to actually be authentic to myself? Because sometimes we carry this vision that like, we need to be the best, we need to be the best version of us. But is it more so that we actually just need to be as authentic to ourselves as possible? Is that really what it means for us to be successful?
Yeah. Yeah. That's another great point in terms of really identifying and owning your identity as well. So would you say, what are some of the most, from your experience, what's some of the most limiting beliefs people come to you with? Or or not necessarily at first, maybe you uncover a little bit down the road. Yeah. I mean, someone won't necessarily come to you and say, oh, it's this, this, and this. But yeah, just interesting to hear.
Here is my limiting belief.
Yeah.
You know, it's really a lot of the time we kind of have limiting beliefs around other people. So how we are in relation to other people. So, you know, if we experience something like rejection, what we internalize that to mean. So we're not good enough for the people. That's a really standard one. Just that belief in itself. I'm not good enough. So I'm not good enough for that person. I'm not good enough to be in the relationship. I'm not good enough for that job. I'm not deserving of money. That's another big one. And yeah, it's just this feeling of not being good enough. But it's not, the truth there is, it's not that someone is not being good enough, but they see themselves as not good enough. And that's the distinction. And I think from that point, you can start to lean into this idea of story again, right? Because story is so powerful. And it's only as time is going on that I'm even kind of learning more about it myself and seeing how it kind of applies to so many different things, because we're all taking life very, very seriously, right? So we're all reading all the books and listening to all the podcasts. And now I'm not doing anyone out of a job because we both have podcasts and hopefully one day I might write a book. But, you know, if we're taking things too seriously, if we're taking everything that's happening in our life really, really seriously, then you don't have any room to detach from something maybe negative that you perceive as being negative that's happening in your life right now. Because that's what we're trying to do. Like when we meditate, when we go out for a run, when we're trying to do all these things like tapping, earthing, things like this, we're trying to create space between us and our 3D reality in order to see another way forward to create something new. So if you're too attached to your story, you can't do that. So, you know what I mean? It's about kind of seeing, okay, where can I kind of have a bit of fun with it and not take it so seriously? And when we start to do that, things become a bit more flexible. We can bend things a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's not attaching yourself to your identity too much. I noted a couple of things you said about meditation and tapping, which was always interesting. Started to do a little bit more tapping myself recently as well. So are those, I mean, are those things you would encourage people to do often, meditation?
Yeah, I would, up to a point. I practice them myself on and off, depending on what I need, what I feel like I need at a certain time. But I think where the boundary line should come in is when we kind of use them as distraction, or when we're using them as, if we didn't do this, we're not going to get what we want. We're not going to be successful. We're not going to feel better about ourselves. If you externalize your power through these tools, then you're disempowering yourself, because what these tools should be doing for you is actually like showing you what power you already have within you. It's just kind of a channel to tap into your power, into your true self, that is just there. It's just there. And sometimes when we think, oh, I need to read the next book, I need to do the next thing, it is kind of the culture we're living in as well. Obviously, you know, it is part of society. But if we start to really place too much importance on those tools, and suddenly our whole day is filled up with just jumping from one activity to the other, have we really actually sat with ourselves? Like, have we actually looked at who we are at our core? Because it's from your core that you'll actually start to make the right decisions for you, and begin to become more intuitive, and yeah, to understand yourself a bit more.
Yeah. Love that. Like, not running away from, not using things like meditation and reading all the time to escape yourself and get away. Because obviously, those are better ways of escaping than, you know, you say like excessively drinking or smoking or drugs. Those are other ways people escape their reality. But obviously, those are better ways. But if you're trying to avoid negativity and the voice inside of you, it's only going to get louder, and you sort of using it to sort of aid that process, you're saying, a little bit more, and understanding yourself.
I think so. Yeah, I think so, because it's the same idea as needing validation from others in a way. It's like why you always ask someone's opinion of you, or why their opinion means so much to you. It's almost like you have to look outside of yourself for the answer, but really the answer is already within you. So yeah, I just find that very interesting. And even, you know, it's a bit of a trick, because we look at these things as being very healthy practices, but it's just a case of too much of anything is a bad thing. So and now, you know, it's definitely, because the world is becoming more aware of personal development and wellness, a lot more people are selling these things. So it's becoming a product. Even something like manifesting, it's becoming a product as opposed to a way of life. And yeah, you just have to be, I think people just have to be a bit careful around that area.
I love what you say about this. This is like completely different, you know, perspectives of what a lot of people are putting out there at the moment. It's like, you should meditate. The word should being a very dangerous word. You should meditate. You should journal. We're saying here, they can be quite good things to aid you feeling good. We want you to feel good. We all want to feel good. You know, you should read all these books and things like that, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Emphasis around should, but actually what's right for you. And I like what you said about, we fill up our whole day of all these things that we should, we feel like we should do, rather than things that might actually be beneficial for us. So love your message there. And then one thing I'm very, very keen on is, habits and kind of what we do day in, day out, because you've got actions, things you do to maybe progress in something or hit a goal, and then like you do it, you might gain a bit more confidence if you get the result you wanted. But habits are what ultimately you become. I think it's Aristotle said, you know, the cliche quote, but I'm going to say it anyway, very, very cheesy, we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence is a habit, and I'm very very keen on that. And it's kind of James Clear picks up on that in his Atomic Habits book. But yeah, looking over and over again, like what you're doing and seeing if that's serving you. So do you like explore what people's habits are when you're kind of working with them a little bit?
Oh yeah, definitely. But most people will actually present you with what they're doing willingly, because they think, you know, a lot of people are very much in that action phase where they think that's where they need to make changes. So they'll offer that information up to you normally quite quickly and early on in the coaching process. But going back to what we were saying though earlier, like when we were talking about having all these action steps earlier, and how I would view that as being different to building up a habit, is that your actions can be disconnected from self. So that's what we were saying. If you don't believe you are the person behind those actions, if you don't align up with the energy of those actions, there's separation there, and it's not necessarily going to get you to where you want to go. Building up a habit is different. When you're building up a habit, you're actually training your mind to think a certain way. So that is actually what is creating your identity from the inside out. So it is very important, I suppose, to be mindful of what you spend most of your day doing. It's your predominant energy. No one ever said that we had to be perfect. Like, you know, all day long, you have to stick to the schedule of, you know, developing yourself and growing as a person and becoming better and, you know, all these things. But it's your predominant time. What are you doing with that? And is it actually helping you get to the place, one, that you want to go, but also making you happier? They can be two separate things.
Yeah, I love what you said, because those are the exact two things I use to define what, you know, what's a good habit or bad habit for someone. I think something that's good for someone, I can't go and tell someone meditation is going to be a good habit for you. You know, 2 hours of meditation is a good habit for you if, you know, you don't like it. That's a good, it's a good habit for Jay Shetty because he meditates for 2 hours a day. I mean,
but
I
don't. He is a monk.
Yeah. Former monk as well, so yeah, that makes sense. And it's probably not even a good habit for a monk. It's probably too little, 2 hours, but most of them. So yeah, I think kind of for me, a good habit would be something that helps someone go towards, yeah, like you said, about feeling happy, but also go towards what they want and kind of build up that. It's about thinking about the person where you want to get to, but thinking about the person you want to become now in order to do that. Because I don't know what your view about this is, but I think there's a lot of, I wasn't going to ask this, but there's a lot of views of, right, okay, I've got this goal, I've got to do this and this. That used to be me, like terrible. It's like, right, done this, overachiever. But I think it's quite important to look at yourself and who you are now and who you need to become, rather than this constant striving and action plan.
Yeah, if we try and rationalize our lives just inside of our mind as opposed to feeling it out as well, that's what I will kind of take from what you said there. Because I think someone said it to me earlier on today, but you know, we were born feeling first and then we were taught how to think. So, you know, for most of our lives, we've thought our identity into existence as opposed to actually naturally feeling it out. And I think both, you get to a certain stage in life, both do have to kind of come together and join kind of harmoniously to allow you to really kind of step up into yourself and to acknowledge that for yourself. One sec, I'm going to turn on the light. This keeps switching on and off. I wonder what that is. See, I told you about the natural light. That's what happens. I'm not sure if that makes much of a difference, but anyway.
There we go. We can see you very clearly. It's fine. Mine's a bit bright at the moment. If anyone's watching, listening to this, they probably can't see my background, but I've got a punch bag in the background next to a plant. So,
we can see.
Awesome. So, what I was gonna touch on next really was, we talked a little bit about habits. We talked about some of the limitations. It's around. And you've talked a lot about identity, and it's really it's been quite a few things that's going to making me really think, and you know, really valuable information. So how important is it to get the right people around you in the right environment?
Different kind of question. Yeah. And actually, do you know what? That is actually a really interesting question, because we spend all day long talking about the inner work, and it's all within us and all that kind of thing. It's super important. I think we've all experienced this firsthand. You know, you don't need a coach to tell you how important that is. You've gone through stages of your life. Everyone has, where you just know that you don't resonate with certain people, maybe in a very extreme way, maybe in a way that's quite toxic to your well-being, but also sometimes there's no conflict. There's actually nothing technically wrong with someone else, but if you were at just a different energy, and there's something there that feels like resistance to you, or just, it's just not making you feel good, then that's perfectly fine to step away from that, I think. And there's a way to do that as well. It's not like a cut and run type situation, but it's just to allow yourself the freedom to actually create your own life in its entirety. So like, in the same way that you can go after your dream job, you can create your friendship groups. You can actually decide what kind of comes into your life and what stays there. Because all we have at the end of the day is our own perception of our lives. So we get bogged down in what other people think and how other people are judging us, and yeah, just people pleasing and things like that. But at the end of the day, you know, that's all within our own perception. We don't have to feel those things. We don't actually have to see our lives in that way at all. We're deciding for ourselves that we're doing wrong by someone. We're deciding for ourselves that, you know, we're just not able to do that. But there's a way to do it. As I say, it's to be kind to people and to acknowledge people and their value in your life. But at the same time, just being very conscious of, this is your life experience and it's your perception of that as well. And within that, then you can start to kind of mold and bend and create.
Do you think sometimes some people I've seen, you know, sadly, we stick around with negative people, or I've certainly experienced this as a coach, and you can kind of see it from the outside. And it's why like things like coaching are quite important, because you can see it from the outside that, you know, they're just in a negative environment. Like, talk about someone negatively, but do you think that sometimes their identity thinks they're, holds them back from getting away from that person?
Oh yeah, but I mean, that comes back to a lot of the time, like your self-worth. Like, do you believe that you only deserve a low energy type connection, you know, like a negative type connection, a toxic connection? Because for myself, like if I was kind of speaking with a client about this type of issue, you know, we would look at, okay, but why, where's the block here? Where is the stop point that's not allowing you to move out of it? And what is keeping you so emotionally invested in keeping yourself there? Because we hold ourselves in situations, we keep ourselves in places, we settle for things, and settling is a choice, very much a choice. Because if you think about it, like, especially like in the time we're in right now, it's such an expansive, abundant world out there. We can see so many opportunities because we have the internet, so we can literally see to the other side of the world and, you know, people living as billionaires on yachts and all the rest of it. So like, it's not for a lack of opportunity that we settle, because we understand that it's there. We understand that it actually is in existence, but it's how we look at ourselves in relation to that thing. So what's the difference between that person who has what you want and you? And you can kind of, from there, it's like, that's the big question really, because then again, it comes back to how you view yourself and what you believe you're actually deserving of.
Yeah, very, very valid point, going back to kind of that level of self-worth and how you value yourself as well. So particularly one thing, again, kind of a slightly different question, but we, as kind of, sometimes people, and I'm a big, I emphasize this quite a lot, that people think, people who feel like they lack confidence and sometimes self-esteem think, okay, there are people just have it or they don't, or kind of, you know, confident people have zero fears, which is one of the hugest misconceptions. We all, as human beings, we all have fears. It makes us human. It's just our attitude to fear that makes a difference from how you progress, and kind of like if you move through it or you decide to kind of hold it off. Now you can break it down and do little steps, but I'm a big keen on that, you know, very keen on talking about that. But as a coach, I mean, I certainly in my early days had this, you talked about it earlier, but imposter syndrome in the head, of like, who are you to be, you know, coaching people? Who are you to, you know, be charging people or coaching people, offering them this service? Even though you've done a lot of work on yourself and you've got these qualifications.
Yeah.
I mean, have you experienced that as well? Or have you had any fellow coaches you've known of experienced that?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Probably still in it a little bit. No, not really. But like, you know, I think there's always a part of us that, I think when you give yourself a title that sounds like, you know, you're up there, like you can dictate to others, that's where you start to, sorry, it's my dog in the background. But yeah, absolutely. I think early on, especially, do you know what it is? For me, the biggest element of this came into play when I had to go on social media to market myself. Because literally that is actually separation. So like you have who you are at this side of the computer and this side of the phone, and then you have the person, like the image of you that's going out there and then being perceived and viewed by everyone else. So that was a really quick way to experience imposter syndrome for me. It wasn't so much so in my one-to-one coaching sessions. I felt very comfortable there. And, you know, you pick up on energies of your clients. You know if you're connecting with them in the right way and they give you that feedback. But yeah, the social media for me was a big one with that. Did you experience that with social media or did you?
Yeah, it's interesting. It pops us differently for all of us. So social media, like at first, I guess there was a little bit of nerves around it, but I'd always not really been too bad about doing videos, but certainly when I started talking to people and engaging them about being a one-to-one client, it's definitely there. And I know I'm in a big group of coaches. And by the way, if you're listening or watching, this is, we're not just talking about coaches. This could be for any profession, right? When you're sort of putting yourself out there or growing yourself or your business, or even in your career, if you're in a corporate career and you're going up the ladder. But for me, it's having those one-to-one conversations. It's like a voice in my head used to be like, who are you to be doing this? But it's just kind of constant reassurance to myself and talking well to myself and work it, as we talked about, like kind of working and embedding an identity that, you know, I am worthy by kind of saying it over and over again. So yeah, thanks, you know, thanks for sharing about how you felt about doing social media in the first time. So that's definitely relatable. I just think it's quite important, whatever profession you are, and if you're listening or watching, as you progress up a ladder, this voice will come up. It's not that confident people have this like zero, it's that it pops up. It's just your attitude to handling it. So yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I get that. At every new level, you're going to have comparison, you know, you're going to feel like there's someone ahead of you all the time. Yeah, and you never get to that stage, I think, where you just have no self-doubt ever. Like it just doesn't exist to you anymore. And sometimes, like, you know, you do have clients even who feel like that's their dream. They want to get to that place where they just never ever question themselves anymore, and they're happy all the time and they feel totally confident all the time. But that's just not, it's not a realistic way to live. And I think it's a lot of pressure to put on people as well to expect to be that way.
Yeah, I love what you're saying. I mean, people I admire, like Mel Robbins, for example, who's, I'm a big fan of, wrote the 5-second rule. I remember her saying, oh, I get nervous when I'm going to go on stage still.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's brilliant, even though she's a superb teacher. Gabby Bernsing, I'm a big fan of. She admits all her like worries and downtime she'd had, even though she's like a multiple New York Times bestseller. I can think of many more people in the area as well. But like that just shows, you know, these people we admire and think, wow, they've really made it. They're not fearless. They're humans like us. It's just they kind of move through it a little bit. So thank you for sharing that. It's just one thing I wanted to touch on. So yeah, Rachel, it's been great chatting, and thank you for coming on again. You've obviously given us a lot of value, really, really some good insight around identity shifts, actually how we might move forward through certain like limitations. We've talked a little bit around habit as well. Mm-hmm. And then a couple of other questions around obviously the asking for getting the right environment around you, and also about our own challenges we experience. So for my wonderful listeners and watchers, if you're watching us on YouTube, where else can they find you if they want to find out more about you?
Where I mostly show up would be on Instagram at the moment. I am expanding on to YouTube, I think this week, hopefully, schedule depending. And I mean, I downloaded the TikTok. I'm not sure about it. I'm going to be honest. I'm not sure about it. It's kind of sitting there. We'll see. But if anyone does want to message me on Instagram, so my handle is Rachel Francis Coach. And other than that, you want to email me at info@rachelfranciscoaching.com. I would love to connect with you. And yeah, that's me.
Awesome. And what we'll do is we'll put the details in the description as well, so people can read that again. So thanks, Rachel, for coming on. And it's been fantastic chatting to you.
Yeah, thanks so much, Johnny. It's been lovely talking with you.